Ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to take up any more of his time. And so without any further ado, help me welcome Brother Dennis Thomas from Living Waters Ministries as he come to give us the main message of the day. And of course, we are going to rejoice and be glad because God has been gracious to us today. Thank you so much, sir. Go ahead, please.
Alrighty. Happy Sabbath to everybody. Happy Sabbath to you on this beautiful sunny day. I've just texted each of you, so you should have a text in your mailbox. It's not snail mail, but it's something that's very much relevant to what we've been talking about for many ages in this house. And many times we've given testimony, in fact, that the prayer just offered regarding intercession for those who have need. So read those scriptures. It's for you to share. It's on your phone. Take out your phone. This opportunity for you to take out your phone. Often I say, do not put away your phones, but now you have opportunity to take out your phones and look on your phones and see what I have sent each of you. Oh, did I send it, Brother Brown?
I think I did.
Yes. Okay. You know, I was joyfully in partaking of a meal this week, and I became sick, very sick. Oh, I should not have been eating at 9 o'clock.
Good night.
And plus it had a little bit of grease to it, I think, and had some other things going on with it. And plus I had already eaten, so I should have been satisfied. But my eyes and my taste buds got the best of me, and my body was weakened because of what I did to it. I allowed that to happen. And God doesn't want us to be weak. He doesn't want us to be sick. I spoke to the brethren this morning about God brings good health. God does that. And I want to continue that theme today. God restores our health. And we have to be mindful of his prescription. We have to be willing to take it. Sometimes it's a hard pill to take. You know, we have in our country an organization. It's called the U.S. Agriculture, Department of Agriculture. They govern how we are to buy and sell, or to make sure that we sell good livestock, not sick livestock, you know, not livestock or products that are not good for you that come out of the garden. They don't govern everything, but they are there to provide some type of guidance. And we have another one called the Food and Drug Administration. And it says here that this is part of their website, actually comes from another blog. Food and Drug Administration is the oldest comprehensive consumer protection agency in the U.S. federal government, tracing its modern regulatory functions back all the way to 1906, Pure Food and Drug Act. So they are primarily there to ensure that we have good food and, you know, drugs and those things that are needed, and they regulate those things. Now, they don't do anything, or they don't come into your homes and regulate what you put in your body. Now, things that they regulate, you can go out there and mix it together and create some things that'll make you very, very sick. We can prepare foods that make us very, very sick, that are not good for us. You know, the scripture says that we are the body of Christ, right? So we ought to be taking care of our bodies. We ought to be taking care of our minds. We ought to be setting an example for others. And I was thinking about this message last night, how I should bring it to you. And I was, you know, thank the Lord for helping me to recover. When you're sick, you're weak. As mentioned in prayer, you can't do the things that you should be doing, that God wants you to do. And the scripture says, take your Bibles and go over to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. We all know the scriptures. And this is what the enemy wants. 1 Peter chapter 5, and we're reading verse 8. Satan the devil is what? He's a roaring lion. So Peter says we ought to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Now he does that in so many ways. As mentioned, we can get sick by the things we eat, as I did. Not paying attention, get caught off guard, end, you know, you become weakened. You may be engaged in something that could set you back 5, 10, 15 years on the job, in your home, regarding our physical things that we put in our body, and most importantly, spiritually. How many times we've eaten spiritual meat that's offered by somebody that sets us back so many years, and we're not growing the way we should because we put some foreign substance in our minds? Just like Christ told the devil, we know he came to him. Now, Christ is the last Adam, right? We know the first Adam. So Satan and the devil came to both Adams. He determined himself to appear before them because he wanted to stop it right at the fountain. He didn't want Adam and Eve to produce any children, not in the likeness of God. He wanted to get to them first. So we know that story. He did. He planted something in their hearts and their mind. Words. Words that caused something to grow up in them that was not like what God intended. Can you imagine somebody planting something in a little child, little baby here? Jordan, that's Jordan. You can be great. You can do mighty and wonderful things. And I'm going to provide the resources. I'm going to pave the way. I'm going to do all I can to ensure that you grow up to be great. Now, Joker comes along in due season. A joker just whispering in her ear, hey, come on, let's go and do whatever. Set her back many years. Or an education system, not getting the education that you need, set you back so many years. Somebody whispering in your ear to set you back so that we achieve less than what God wanted us to achieve. That's food. We know physical food. We grow up, we go around the waistline, as I have done. You get some expanded trousers that expands when you put them on. Same thing spiritually. You grow up and you are puffed up, swollen, thinking of yourself, as mentioned earlier, more than what we should. Psalm 131 said, you know, I'm not engaged in anything too haughty for me, not exercise myself in matters too high for me. We get swelled, we swell up in our hearts and our minds. What has this to do with the FDA or your home drug administration, your home food administration, what you put together, how we putting together the food substance that help us to grow? Peter says the devil is as a roaring lion. He wants to devour you. Look how he stood there before Adam and Eve. Eve was deceived. Adam was not deceived. He was right there with her. She took that fruit and gave it to him. He ate. Paul says she was deceived. Adam was not deceived. The same enemy, the devil, Satan the devil, came to Christ, the last Adam, in the same way. Not in the garden, but in the wilderness. He was hungry. He was thirsty. He wanted food. What did he do? The first thing he did, cast doubt. If you are who you say you are, if you are the Son of God, why don't you just turn these stones into bread? Cast in doubt. Now, did he receive that meat? Did he receive that water, that drink? No. So that lets us know, why did he not receive it? What did he say? It is written. So if we don't have anything inside of us, how are we going to combat that which comes against us? Every wind of doctrine, every YouTuber, as I like to listen to, every sports announcer, every newscaster, every politician, everyone who speaks louder than what they should, you know, why don't you go pursue this way of life? Live in the streets. Live the high and opulent lifestyle. Be like Mike. Be like everybody else. Can only afford the house that you live in, and that's it. Don't worry about the food. You can't eat the paint on the wall, can't eat the bricks on the outside, can't eat the grass stubs, can't eat those things. We just want to be like somebody else. That has taken in something that has grown up to be not what God intended. You are your own food and drug administration. Back to Matthew. We alluded to that earlier, at least Brother Brown did. So I'll pick it up there. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, Christ said, every word, every idle word that you shall speak, you shall give an account in the day of judgment. For by your words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. Right? By your words we shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. Christ said he was very intent, he was very deliberate, very determined to speak only those things that the Father gave him to speak. And so that's why we see what grew up in him was the image of the Father. He said, Philip, how is it that you say, I want to see the Father? You've seen me, you've seen the Father. What do you mean? Aren't you satisfied? What you see growing up in me, what I'm producing, is the image of the Father. Now, people see me, they may see two things. They see this flesh, but when I speak, I voice words, they may see something totally different. Man, you don't even speak the way I speak. You're a country. You don't even speak my dialect. You can tell when the person speaks, they may look like they're from the U.S. or look like they're from another country, but when they speak, you can tell what's in them, how they grew up, right? Same thing about the Word of God. God says what comes out of us, Matthew 15. God's words restores health to us. We'll get into that. That's why I sent you those scriptures. Matthew 15, verse 13. Every plant which my Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Okay, he's talking to these Pharisees. He says, don't you know, verse 12, that they were offended. So he says, every plant my Father planted, it's going to be rooted up. Let them alone. They're blind leaders of the blind. If the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into a ditch. What have they been? They've been eating. They've been eating something that caused them to be able to not see spiritual things. Christ here is talking spiritually here. And we can do things. I was on a computer, at work, and looking at three different screens, and I think my eyes are getting better than it was. Because you get tired, and you don't have a good vision, you should not just be staring at the screen all the time. It can wear you down. So after I've been away from it a while, I can see clearly. I said, oh man, I know what I need to do this. I need to kind of step away, as I've been told, and to not be staring all the time at a screen. You can weaken your vision. Sometimes you're staring at the wrong thing. Christ says, if you even lust after a woman, or you even covet after a man's house, or his animals, or his or her, whatever, you covet those things, we've sinned already in our hearts and our mind. Something has grown up on the inside of us that doesn't reflect him. That's what he noticed when he was walking through the cool of the day. Adam, where are you? Well, God knows everything. Something had grew up in him that did not look like what he created him to be. Does it make sense? Something, the seed of the Word of God, it causes something to grow up in you that we begin to speak something that's contrary to God's Word. That's why I sent you those scriptures. You know, not everybody who walks this way believes that God will heal you and do what he said he would do. People of faith, not everybody is convicted in that. That's why I sent you those, so that you can read those scriptures. You can be converted or convicted in your own heart and mind that what God said he will do. And that's just a sample, you know, just the crumbs. You can go and grab other scriptures and look at that whole context and see that God's covenant stands. And he wants us to eat those things that are good for us. So with that in mind, think about God wants us to be in good health, and he gives us a prescription for that. Let's go to John chapter 4. John chapter 4, Christ is now visiting a lady. He was very tired on his journey, and we may be tired and weary on our journey and working with people, going here and there and doing different things. And he says in John chapter 4 that I must need go through Samaria, verse 4. And he come to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, a parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son, Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. And he comes to the verse 6, to the well. Jesus did, being weary with his journey, sat on the well, and it was about the 6th hour. So Christ is weary. He's tired. You may be tired, worn out, going visiting people, visiting the sick, or making an effort to go visit somebody on the Sabbath day. Sabbath, this day, Christ says, it's good to do well on the Sabbath day. If we don't have any other time to go and visit the sick or pray for others, we can do it on this day. Because we're not working. Do those things that reflect his character, that he's in us, that plant has grown up in us, and he's doing those things. We'll look at a scripture that kind of alludes to that as well. So he's talking to this lady, and he goes down, I think you all know the story, and he said, you know, if you've asked for living waters, I would have given you these things. You have asked for what I'm giving you, the waters of life. So it goes down, and the disciples are going away to buy bread, and in the meantime, verse 31, the disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat! He said, I have meat to eat you're not even aware of. Okay, now, this is not foreign food like I ate the other day. They didn't agree with me. So Christ is saying here, we got to be very, very particular about what we're eating. They wanted him to eat physically. It was somewhat of a distraction because he had a purpose. He said, I got to go through this land. And he stopped there at the well to teach us a lesson about things that we're putting in our bodies. We are the temple of God. As mentioned earlier, we want God's presence. God's presence is always with us, right? Because he said, I will make my abode with them. So we got to keep that in mind so that we are very aware that we can't do things that are contrary to his word and bring the curses upon us. God is always watching us. We got to be mindful of that. So they came to him, said, Master, eat. In verse 34, he said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. So do you find yourself eating of the will of God for this season in life? Are we getting the nutrients that we need for this season in life from the words of God? Are we receiving, as mentioned in the prayer, the healing that we need for this season in life to run the race? Remember, there's a story about Elijah who was running from Jezebel. He had done this mighty work before them. Fire came down from heaven and licked up the water, that offering, burnt it all up. He destroyed the false prophets. And then yet he's going to run from Jezebel after doing that mighty work. He ran, I don't know how many, was it 40 miles? A long way, all in the wilderness. I got to get away from this woman. After he had done that mighty work. Can you see what that says to us? You may do a mighty work, you may be strong, and then your faith may just wane. It may just fade a little bit because we lose track. There was an immediate threat, and he wanted to get away from that, which was good. He did, but he could have done some other things as well. You know, I'm thinking here. But he went out in the wilderness, and there an angel came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? Go back and read the story. 100 miles. Wow. Can you imagine that? Running from here to Macon, Georgia, Central Georgia, from Atlanta to Central Georgia. Man, he has some strength. Fear will push you, you know. But he ran, and he ate that food that the angel had prepared before him. He said, you got to eat because your journey is long. He ate that food and continued in that food a long distance. I'm saying that to say to us that we have to make sure that we're eating the right food to continue the journey, the spiritual journey. Christ says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. Other people will introduce foreign food stuff in your life that's not approved by the Kingdom Food Agency, Jesus Christ. People will give you different twists of the Bible that will cause you to think or cause you to do different things that are contrary to what God wants. And we don't realize or don't receive the benefit of the food stuff that he has given us to grow up into that full image of Christ, to be able to speak and it's done, to ask and we receive, to seek and we find, to knock and it's open unto us, because we have allowed something to be entered into us that's grown up into a different image. Parents, you know, we try to raise our children. We tell you this is the way to go. Walk in it. As mentioned earlier, we're praying for our children, praying for different ones in the family. We share this knowledge and say, walk in this way to receive that benefit. That's what the Lord wants. So Christ says here, John 4:34, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. The devil does not want you to finish the work. Remember Peter stood up before Christ in Matthew chapter 16? Let's go back and take a look at that. Matthew chapter 16. Remember he said, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. So he's on his way to do the will of the Father. And so Christ been working with them. they've gone through, this is now past the second Passover. The first Passover was in John chapter 2. The second Passover was in John chapter 16. And also, to help you understand the chronology, in John chapter 6, he fed the 5,000. In John, Matthew chapter 14, he fed the 5,000. So that lets you know we're in John chapter 15 or 16. So we're far beyond John chapter 6 when he fed the 5,000, which is in Matthew chapter 14. So we're far beyond the second Passover into the second year of his ministry. That's how I understand the chronology. Look at the Passover, because he gives those holidays for a reason. John 2, John 6, 2 years, two Passover. Matthew chapter 14, he fed the 5,000. John chapter 6, during the second Passover, he fed the 5,000. So you know when you get to Matthew chapter 15 or 14, you are 2 years into his ministry. So in Matthew chapter 16, he said to one of the disciples here, he came to Caesarea Philippi. Now, I forgot to do some research on this. I heard someone speaking about Caesarea Philippi, a city named after Caesar. They had all these gods around to remind the people, Caesar is God. Philippi, of the king named after Philip as well. So they had all these gods around, and Christ is here saying, among all this, I got to go back and do some research, in this area, just like he was in Athens, Paul went into Athens, the greatest Diana, they had all those gods around. He there represented the kingdom of God, was there among all those entities that were no gods at all. But in the imagination of the people, that image had grew up in them. So Caesarea Philippi, the coast, is where they were. And he says, whom do men say that I am? Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elias. Or others say Jeremiah, one of the prophets. But who do you say? What have you learned from these two Passovers, these seven miracles that have occurred? You know, what have you learned? Seven miracles before his death over in John chapter 2 through 6, well, up to John chapter 11, 7, before his death. Critical miracles. What have you learned? He said, you are Christ, Peter said, the Son of the living God. He said, blessed are you, Simon by Jonah. Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And he goes on to say, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. Not upon you, pillar, but upon this rock, this knowledge. I'm going to build my church, this understanding you have. And I'm going to give you all the keys to the kingdom. After all that revelation, just like Elijah, all in the wilderness, after doing that great work, he began to fade in his faith. Now, Peter began to allow something to grow up on the inside of him. Even though he had this great revelation that God the Father gave to him, now look at what is about to happen. From that time, verse 21, Jesus began to say unto his disciples how he must go to Jerusalem to suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and raised the third day. Peter took him and began to rebuke him. No! Now what caused that to grow up in Peter? He rebuked him, saying, no, be it far from you. Remember we read in John chapter 4, verse 34, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. Here, the devil is influencing Peter to speak something. He's the prince and the power of the air. So Peter says, no, you're not going to go up to do that. What did Christ say? Get behind me, Satan. Christ saw right through that. He says, Satan is influencing you to say something. You think you're doing good by saying, no, we don't want anything to happen to you. No, we want you to be king. We want you to rule. Christ said, no. I'm going to go up and I'm going to die. Peter said, no. Look at this. He began to say many things. You're going to be killed of the chief priests, verse 21. The scribes, you're going to be raised the third day. Peter said, no. You're not going to die. Where did that come from? Where did that thought come from? You know, it's easy to think things and to say things, and we think we're saying things that are approved by God. Peter thought that was, hey, okay, I'm concerned about you. You're not going to go up and kill. Christ says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. He's been fed some of the meat. What grew up in him, voiced out of him, something that was contrary to God's word. That can happen to us in so many ways. We've got to be careful about that. So he says, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me. For you carest not for the things that be of God, but those things that be of men. How many times have we looked at a situation where somebody is seeking to do God's word, to do his will, and we carelessly say something that we think is encouraging to them and is not. We lose sight. Christ had just told them, the Father in heaven has revealed to you who I am. And he says, he talked to them, verse 21. He began to say to his disciples, I got to go up to Jerusalem. I'm going to suffer from the chief elders, from the elders and the chief priests and scribes. I'm going to be killed and raised the third day. He received foreign food. He received some other thought. Something came in his mind. You know, we do things like that as well. So I just want to point that out. John 4, verse 34. And this is an example of how we can receive something that's contrary to God's word. Matthew 24, Christ says we are to take heed. Matthew 24, verse 4. They were concerned about how the beauty of the temple looked, the physical structure. You know, we can be so enamored by the things that are physical. Our zip code, our fine $70,000 house, a car, $100,000 car. People buy those things nowadays. You can afford it, more power to you. Any number of things that people look upon. That's why the devil showed Christ all the kingdoms of the world. He wanted him to be distracted. I'll give you all this. It's not by the word of God. It's not by faith. Not by trusting in God. I'll just give it to you. Just bow down and worship me. That's what he wanted to do. We've got to be careful about that. Christ says, first of all, the last Adam. In fact, let me put this in your mind. Hold your finger right there and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, so you can have these things in your mind. So when you hear Adam, think about the last Adam. Adam. You hear the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Think about the last Adam. Those who are first, who remain in Adam, the physical Adam, they're going to be last. Those who are off the last Adam, they're going to be first. That's how I look at that scripture. It helps me. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 4-5. So it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. So if we remain in that first man, Adam, we're going to be last. The last man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. If we remain in that last man, Adam, we're going to be first. So he was made a quickening spirit. That Adam received the seed that produced something in him. That foodstuff grew up in him, rebellion. The Son of God rebelled against his maker. This last Adam, as we are familiar with the story, was in the wilderness. He was tempted on three occasions. He said, no, I'm not going to do it. You cast doubt. I know he knew he was the Son of God. He didn't need to prove that to anybody, except when he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. It is written, you shall only worship the Lord your God. Don't bow down to anything else. Don't tempt God by jumping off this cliff, he says. So back to Matthew 24. The last Adam is telling us something. He says, we are to take heed that no man deceive you. The devil came right before Christ to deceive him, to get him to do something prematurely, or to cast doubt. If you are the Son of God, if you are who you say you are, you go down to the waters of baptism, you didn't do, or you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, he wants you to cast doubt and be discouraged. Not that we confess our sins and repent of our sin, because God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He doesn't want us to be reminded of that, right? He wants to be reminded of our lack, our insufficiency. Christ says here, let no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying that I am Christ, and shall deceive many. How do people do that? They feed you something that is not of God, right? Let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 23. Jeremiah was given a mission to build and to plant and to pluck up as needed. Here God has revealed to us those who were given charge to teach the people the right thing were not doing it. He says, woe unto you pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture. Now, you got to get this. You got to get this allegory, this parable type of scenario Christ is painting. In John chapter 10, I'm assuming you all know these scriptures, where Christ says, I'm the door. Any man comes unto me, come through the door, you're going to find pasture, right? You're going to eat those things that are needful to help you to grow. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside green pastures, that we can eat those things and grow up to the full image of Christ. So here, there are pastors who are leading people, who are scattering the flock away from the pasture that God has ordained. The things that are needful for us to grow and eat on, He has given for us to do. They have been scattered away from that. He says, therefore, verse 2, the Lord said unto the God of Israel, against the pasture that feed my flock, you've scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. That's why I say on the Sabbath, it's good to visit people. It's good to pray for them. If you can't visit them, pray for them. And as mentioned, you know, we have family. We have family, friends. We have neighbors. Any number of people. We're trying to go out into that world, their world, to share the truth with them so that they can repent and change. And if they don't want to change, pray and ask God to correct them in His mercy, not in His anger. God doesn't want to destroy people. Christ says, the Son of Man came not to destroy men's life, but to save them. John 3:16, verse 17. God so loved the world and gave His only begotten Son. You know the scripture? He came not into the world to destroy men, but to save them. So these pastors are driving people away, and they are destroying the lives of the people. They are not fulfilling their purpose. He says, I would visit upon you the evil of your doing, says the Lord. I would gather the remnant of my flock out of the countries whither I've driven them. And I will feed them again in their fold. They shall be fruitful and increase. I will set up shepherds over them to feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, nor be lacking, says the Lord. Now think about this. We just read, Christ said, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me. Why people don't understand what the will of God is? If we are reading His word, we should understand what God's will is. We read about healing. Those scriptures that I sent you, when people say, well, God may or He may not heal, or He may not do whatever the case may be, go to the scriptures. In fact, let's take a departure and go back to look at what the Kingdom Food and Health Administration says. Go back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 20. That's what's on your little sheet there. I wrote these down. I put it on the top of the prayer list, because when I'm reading the prayer list, I wanted to keep these things in mind. And when you're praying for people, just keep those things in mind. Keep the scriptures in mind. So Genesis, here is an international occurrence. What happened? Abraham, who is the father of many nations, before he even had a child, God saw in him a whole nation. He said, look at the stars, so shall your seed going to be. It's just like looking at outside, look at the blades of grass. Every blade of grass is a galaxy. Sometimes y'all look at that on the internet, see YouTube, see how God's created the whole galaxies. What's out there? All those things. He said, Abraham, your seed is going to be just like that. So here, the father, Abraham, comes with his wife Sarah, whose name had been changed as well, to a country, an area, where he said, well, this is my sister. You know, I don't want them taking me away from me. And so, Abimelech did that. Verse 6, God said in a dream, I know that you did this in the integrity of your heart. So the man had some integrity about him. He said, I have withheld you from sinning against me. Therefore, I suffer you not to touch her. Now, therefore, verse 7, Genesis chapter 6, verse 7, restore the man his wife. He is a prophet. How was he a prophet? Abraham! I'm the father of many nations. Well, you don't have a son yet. But he's telling people, what's your name? Abraham. I'm the father of many nations. Well, you don't have a son yet. He's speaking. He's a prophet. He's speaking prophetically. He's speaking the things concerning what God said that He would do to him. Now, do we think like that? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do we think like that? Do we talk like that? Oh, this is my aches and pain. I've had it for so long. My daddy had it. My mother had it. Her mother had it. It's just been passed down to me. People talk like that. Why do we embrace things like that? It's changing the way of thinking. That's why Christ says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So Abraham comes to this area, and God intervenes and tells this guy in a dream, he's a prophet, and he shall pray for you, verse 7. You shall live. Now, he was going to die. If you restore her not, know that you shall surely die, you and all that you have. So he goes through this and says, what in the world have you done to me? he began to rebuke Abraham, and Abimelech did. So verse 17, that's on your sheet here that I gave to you. First scripture, Genesis, first healing. You can do your Google thing, but these things just came to my mind. When people say things that are another food substance, they're feeding your mind. Remember Christ says, my meat is due to the will of him that sent me. So people are feeding in your mind what they have thought. You're taking that in, and you begin to act upon it. And every plant that the Father has not planted is going to be rooted up. Something has grown up in you, just like Adam. Where are you? Adam had fallen asleep. Oh, this is such a beautiful woman. She shall be called woman. Eve, she's so beautiful. Woman! Yeah, falling asleep. So I put this here because I had to go through my mind. When somebody says, you know, you're mistaken, okay, let's find it in the scriptures. Let's go to the scripture. What does the scripture say? So what is the context? The context is he went into this area. He dwelt in Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. Abraham and his wife, they came on down. The king of Amalek was there, and he took Sarah. This was an international event because inside of Abraham was nation. He's against another nation. The devil is using Abimelech. That's why I showed you Matthew chapter 16. He thought he was doing something good. Peter did. You're not going to go up there to be killed. Christ said, I'm going to die. He said, no, you're not going to do that. Abimelech, God told Abraham to pray for him. Abraham prayed for him, and God healed Abimelech, verse 17, and his wife, and his maidservant, and their bare children. So all these people were impacted by this man's sin. And the Lord had closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because Sarah, his wife. So the next scripture I have on here is Genesis chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25 is the next moment where a miracle was done. And you may find others. I was just thinking about these some time ago when I wrote them down way back. I guess that was last October whenever I did this. Genesis chapter 25, what we read in verse 21. Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. Remember, we just read that God had shut up all the wombs of Abimelech. She needed healing. Rebekah needed healing. She could not have any children. There may be some things in our lives happening to us. We can't produce in season any number of things what God wants us to produce to minister to others. So she couldn't have any children. She was barren. Verse 21, Genesis 25. The Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And these children struggled in her womb, and she asked the Lord again. And he made known to her, you have two nations inside of you. Ms. Brown mentioned in her prayer, alluded to it, Proverbs, or Brother Brown did, one of the two. Proverbs chapter 4. He said, Christ said, don't let anyone deceive you. Here's a king who received instruction from another king, his father, who received inspiration from another king, God of heaven. So you have three kings here. God, king of the universe, talking to King David, who trained his son, King Solomon. And he says in verse 1, hear you children, the instruction of our father, and attend to no understanding. I give you good doctrine, forsake her not. Verse 20, my son, attend to my words. Remember, the devil comes at your words. He wants to pervert your words. And what goes in our hearts is going to come out. So Proverbs verse 20, or chapter 4, verse 20, attend to my words, incline your ear to my saying, let them not depart from your eyes. He doesn't want you to see, because the word of God allows you to see. Doesn't give you blindness. You are supposed to see what God is doing in this season. We're supposed to see what God is doing in the nation. In my job, I see things that are changing. We are realigning. People are retiring. People are being let go. The economy is changing. 2022 may be a different cycle altogether. Some say we may be closing in on that 6,000 years. You look at that. There's a lot of validity to these things. We don't have a sense of urgency at times to do the things that we need to do in season, because we have received another word, something that's grown up on the inside of us that's not producing the healthy body that's needed. Let not them depart, verse 21, from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health, other translations say medicine, health to all their flesh. Keep with your heart with all diligence. Now you have to keep your heart. The enemy wants to steal something out of your heart, get you to pursue something that's less than what God wants for you. Right? Remember Samson? Let's go back to Judges chapter 13. Judges chapter 16, I think it is. Judges 16. Israel is now in bondage because they rebelled. Every man is doing what's right in his own eyes. God had earlier sent Gideon along to give them deliverance, and they rebelled again and became in captivity. God raised up Samson, and the parents met an angel. The angel told them what they needed to do in order to raise the child up right. And they had to do that in order for the vision, in order to, for the purpose to be fulfilled. And we know Samson chose not to walk in God's way towards the end. He revealed the secret. She pressed upon him to tell her, why are you so strong? Why are you so strong in the Lord and in the power of his might? You know the scripture? Be strong in the Lord, not outside of him, only in him. Read all those scriptures it talks about. If you remain in me, you can ask what you will. If my word remains in you, you can ask what you will. Christ, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ remaining in you. So as long as Samson remained in the promise, in God, in his word, he could do mighty and wonderful things. And we can read that story. You can read that from chapter 13 up to verse 16. So we get here in chapter 16. And Delilah, verse 10, said unto Samson, you mocked me. You told me lies. You didn't tell me what I need to know. Sweet talking to man. He'd be a man sweet talking to woman, as we illustrated earlier. Receiving another word, another seed that's going to grow up to produce something in you. So the fact that he received her seed, it produced something in him, which was to tell the secret. Why he was so strong and what happened. They cut his hair. And they did all those things while he was asleep, verse 14 of Judges chapter 16. And she said to them, how can you say if you love me when you your heart is not with me? You mocked me these three times and has told me not where your great strength lies. Where is your great strength? Be strong in the Lord. What caused you to be strong? As long as you are in Christ. That's what Christ says. I only speak what my Father told me to speak. And he does the works. Why? Because he's speaking what the Father told him. And the Father will do the works. That's why Christ says, you abide in me, my works abide in you. You can speak what you will, and the works will be done. That's why the greater work comes, because we're speaking what God tells us to speak, what Christ tells us to speak. It's not that difficult. It's just that we have to repent. Remember, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And what has grown up on the inside of us are idle words. Idle words from those who taught us wrong teachings, wrong things. So when somebody's trying to tell you what's right, then, hey, we don't want to hear it. Oh, we got to go through all these weeds and thorns to peel them away to plant something on good ground. So verse 16 again, when she pressed upon him daily with her words, remember the parable? When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, Matthew 13, verse 19, anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, Satan comes quickly and takes that word out of their hearts. In Matthew chapter 15, Christ says, they have eyes, but they have closed their eyes. They have ears, but they close their ears, lest I should heal them, they be converted, and I would heal them. That's remarkable. Christ said he wanted to heal us, but we have closed our eyes to something. We have closed our ears to hearing something. Samson had closed his mind to what God had told him to do. And she pressed upon him. She's pressing upon him. Verse 16, Samson 16, verse 16. And urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. Then he told her all that was in his heart and said, there's not come a razor upon my head, and I've been a Nazarite from God, unto God from my mother's womb. And if I be shaven, then my strength will go from me. And I become weak, I'll be like any other man. Remember the scripture, John 15, Christ says, I am the vine, my Father, and my Father is husbandman, and you are the branches. If anyone in me does not bear fruit, he's going to purge, he's going to cast away. She's pressing upon him, and he's going to become weak and be a castaway. And he's going to become a mockery. Christ said in John 15 that when that's happened, they're like branches that are thrown away, and they are thrown into the fire. John 15, verse 1 through 8, you read that when you get a chance. If I have be shaven, then my strength will go from me. Now, remember now, we're talking about food stuff. Kingdom heavenly food that helps us restore our health and bring us back to good health. But we have to get in the Word of God and find those scriptures that others don't believe, and believe the covenant, believe what God says. That's the blood covenant. When Delilah saw, verse 18, he told her all that was in his heart. She sent and called the Lord, said, come once. And he showed me all that was in his heart. And they came and brought money unto, gave it to her. And she made him sleep upon her knees. Walk goodbye, baby, walk goodbye, baby. She's just sleeping. He's sleeping on her knees. And she shaved off his, he didn't feel that. Man, that must have been some type of razor. They must have some smooth razor blades back then. Shaved it all off. He was in a deep sleep. Just like he put Adam in a deep sleep, and God took the rib out of Adam and made a woman. Man, those sweet words put him in a deep sleep. And he gave up his strength. It went from him. She began, and they began to afflict him. That's the enemy. As a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He wants to make a mockery out of us that God has chosen to be like him. So I just want you to take a look at that and see how that actually works. Receiving another seed. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 1 through 5. Isaiah chapter 1, I'm not going to read all these. Isaiah chapter 1, 1 through 5. Kingdom restoration to good health, physically and spiritually. Here's a nation. God formed them to be like him. When you get a chance, make a mental note to read Isaiah 43 and Isaiah 44. God says, you are my witnesses. I chose you of all these people to be a witness. I had Jordan read this morning, Deuteronomy chapter 8, you know, where God says, you know, I'll give you the power to get wealth. You want to be wealthy? I'll give you the power to get wealth. You want to live in a nice neighborhood, nice car, pass an inheritance on to your children? You give you the power to do that. But we have to keep his commandments. And he goes before us to prepare all these things, just like he prepared the earth before he created Adam and Eve. He prepared everything that was needed to sustain life. He's done the same thing in Christ. He's prepared everything that we need is in him. He's given us all spiritual blessings in heaven and places in Christ, Ephesians chapter 1. Everything is in Christ. So as we remain in him, we can be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. If we remain in him, we can ask what we will, he'll do it. To the extent that we don't remain in him, so if we're not receiving what we need, that's me too, it's because we're not in him as we should be. And something else that come up in our minds. So here, God gives his vision to Isaiah. Hear, O heavens. Now, I heard this explained once, and I thought this was neat to put some Bibles have a caption up there, but I put my own, as this gentleman was explaining this Bible, this particular chapter. It's a courtroom. You're stepping into the courtroom. Hear, O, hear, you people. Hear, O, you people. Hear, hear, O heavens. Give ear, O earth. Verse 2, the Lord has spoken. I've nourished and brought up children. They have rebelled against me. They're not doing what they should be doing. They have received another seed from their friends, from the school system, from the government. They're thinking like the governments of the world, not like the kingdom of God. Remember, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. They're not thinking like that anymore. They're thinking like the world. They're no longer ambassadors for the kingdom. They're ambassadors for the world. The plant that has grown up in them reflects something else that doesn't look like God. And the whole head has become sick. They can't do the things God wants them to do. They're not strong. in the power of his might, as Samson gave up his strength. Israel gave up their strength. The ox, he says, knows, verse 3, Isaiah 1, that his owner, the ass, his master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people does not consider. Ah, a sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors, they have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They've gone astray backward, gone away backward. Why are you, would you be straightened? I got to keep on spanking you. I'm tired of spanking you. It's not going to do any good. Why could I, should I keep spanking you? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart faints. He said, they're sick. What have they been eating? The things of the world, other messages, other things that are contrary to God's word. They've been eating those things. And now they've grown up to look like something that is not really the image of God. It is the image of the world. I just want you to see that. He says the whole head is sick. You know, Christ is the head of the church, right? He put the things in the mouth from the Father. The body is supposed to grow out to be that image of Christ. Something else has been injected into the body that causes it not to grow to be the image that Christ wants us to be. Psalm 119. Psalm 119. We're going to put good things in our bodies. That's what I determined to do. If you've been weakened for a while, you've been sick, you get tired of being sick. You get tired. You won't have life, vitality. The enemy doesn't want that. He doesn't want us to have the vitality. He wants us to be weakened. Psalm 119, verse 130. Psalm 119, verse 130 says, the entrance of your word gives light. It allows us to see clearly. It gives understanding. It allows us to see the conditions of my life, the world, family, friends, the entrance of God's word. Don't shut the door. Allow God's words to enter into it. It gives us light. I open my mouth, he says. Feed me with your word. Open my mouth. And I panted, as Miss Brown sang that song, as the deer panted for the waters, I think she was saying. So I long for your commandments. Look upon me and be merciful unto me, for you used to do to those that love your name. Order my steps in your word. Don't be deceived. Let God order your steps. Let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Go back to verse 105. Verse 105 says, your word is a light unto my feet. It's a lamp unto my path. We can see where to go. If we are receiving other words and things are growing up on the inside of us, you know, it's just like a parent or a teacher said, man, I didn't teach him that. I didn't teach my son, my daughter that. I didn't raise my kids that way. I didn't raise my, God says, I didn't raise Israel this way. Oh, a sinful nation. He said, here, heavens, look, all of you in heaven, on earth, look, here's a testimony against the people that I raised up. Look how they're acting. I didn't raise them up to be like that. They have received another seed. That's what happened in the Garden of Eden. Satan the devil gave the first Adam another seed. A rebellious word. Now the last Adam was presented with the same prosecutor in the courtroom, in the wilderness. How did he approach him? If you're the son of God, if you're the son of God, are you? Now why don't you do this? Prove it. What did Christ say? No. Man should not live by bread alone, but every word that comes out of the mouth of the Lord. You don't have to prove things to people. People want to debate, get you to prove things. Let them go. You got the problem. I don't have the problem. We are wounded. He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity. Isaiah 55, verse 10, 11 through 13. My words gone out of my mouth shall not return to me void. Matthew chapter 14, verse 8 through 16. This was spoken that it might be fulfilled. He did these things that it might be fulfilled by Isaiah the prophet that he took on our infirmities. Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent his word and healed them. Jeremiah 17, verse 17. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. 17, verse 14, I think. 1 Peter 2, verse 24. By his stripes we were healed. He says, past tense, you were healed. So go back and get the healing. How do we get the healing? Be strong in the Lord. Christ said, if my word abide in you, you can ask what you will. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, when someone comes to you and presents something contrary to cause you to doubt that he's in you, then you got to deal with that. You got to go to his word and ask God for forgiveness, because we may be doing something that's contrary, just like Peter. No, you're not going to go up there and be crucified. He just said there, well, I'm going to die. They're going to kill me. They're going to accuse me. And Peter said, no, it's not going to happen. We don't want that to happen. John chapter 15, 1 through 8, I gave you that. John chapter 14, verse 10 through 13, greater works. John chapter 8, verse 30. Make sure don't go too long here. Keep y'all. I want y'all to see some of y'all eyelids hanging over your eyes. I want you to become too weary and fall asleep. John chapter 8, and we'll pick it up here. Verse 27, they understood not that he spoke to them of his Father. And Jesus said unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, you shall know that I am he, and I do nothing of myself, but as the Father has taught me, I speak these things. Problem is, we speak things that are not of God the Father. We say things that are discouraging to other people. Even in the church, we think sometimes we're encouraging, but we're really discouraging people. We should speak things that build people up. When they need correction, rebuke them. You're going the wrong way. The Lord rebuke you. You got to come out from among that people who are causing you to sin. You got to stop following that teaching that causes you to go astray. Christ said, I speak what my Father has told me to speak. I speak these things as he has taught me. Verse 28 of John chapter 8. Verse 29. And he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone. I do always those things that please him. Can we say that? We should be able to say, I want to, and Lord, help me to do always those things that please you. That should be our prayer. Not that, okay, I'm going to give up. No, the devil wants you to give up. You don't ever give up. As long as you got breath, as long as you can think, you can know that your state, just like the man who was there and taking his inheritance and going back and eating with the pigs. He said, I'm going to go back to my Father's house. That stories are for us. You know? So he went back to his Father's house and he was blessed. As he spoke these words, many believed on him. Then Jesus, verse 31 of John 8, said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, remember now, eating the words of God. Christ says, my will, or my meat, is to do the will of him that sent me. He says, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free from all these things that the devil is doing to weaken us. The devil wants to wear us out like an old wash cloth that you use to scrub on your cars, your tires outside. It's become old and raggedy over the next year or so. He wants to wear you out just like that and say, now go and serve the Lord. God gave you a gift from your birth. And you're going worn out. Now you're 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years old. You don't have the strength or the zeal anymore. He said, now go and serve the Lord. You're giving all your life to the world. Now go and serve the Lord. That's what he wants to do. We read Proverbs chapter 4. We alluded to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, where it says, be strong in the Lord. I just started meditating on that. Reading John 14, 15, 16, 17, where Christ says, Father, I want them to be one as you are. Now, the end of this month, we're going to have a Unity of the Spirit conference. But I think what we still need to learn and press into is what God means when he says in John 17, I want them to be one as you and I are one, so that the world may know that you have sent me. He says that so many times, that the world may know you sent me. In fact, when the Comforter has come, the Holy Spirit, he shall testify of me, it says there in John 15, verse 26. He shall testify of me. That's what Christ wants. So when we have unity, it's supposed to reflect to the world that these people are different. They represent the kingdom of God. So in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, coming up on an hour, I know y'all are weary. Weary. Hold your bricks and your eggs. Don't throw them. Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents, for this is right. Obey your parents in the Lord. Parents who are in the Lord, who are teaching you the right thing, he says, obey them. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment, with promise. There's a promise with this commandment, that it may be well with you, that you may live long upon the earth. He goes on to say, servant, be obedient to your masters. Drop it down to verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong, how? In the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in Christ. Go back to John. Remember that in him. We're going to cover a few scriptures before we conclude. All these things are in Christ. The only way we can be strong is in him. So let's see what that means. Okay, go back to John chapter 15. This is the kingdom food that restores health spiritually and physically. John chapter 15. We'll just read this. I'm the true vine, my father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit. So these branches are in him. They're not being strong. They're in him, but they're not bearing fruit. He purges. He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, every branch that bears not fruit, he takes away. Read that again. Every branch in me. Remember we just read. In the Lord be strong. So these branches are in him, and they're not being strong. So they're not bearing fruit. He says they'll be taken away. Remember the church of Laodicea? Oh, we can see. We are riches. He said, no. You're blind. You're naked. You don't realize that. Church in Thyatira. They were doing all kinds of things. Church of Sardis. They had a name that they lived and were dead. Who was it? Church of Pergamos. They had the same issue. Church of Sardis, I should say. They had a name that they lived and they were dead. So he says, verse 3, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me. Remember we just read in Ephesians, be strong in the Lord. He said, abide in me. I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abides in the vine. No more can you, except you abide in me. That's the only way you can be strong. Samson had to abide in the word, in the promises. Adam had to abide in God's promises. Christ abode in God when he says, no, man must not live by bread alone. Verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same bring forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abides not in me, he's cast forth as a branch, and is withered. Men gather them and cast them into the fire. What did he do to Samson? Took him up, blindfolded. Well, he was already blind. And put on his eyes. It's an awful thing. They put him out there and made sport. Saying, you know, go ahead and push this thing. Go ahead and do something out here. Make sport. And he says, if you abide, verse 7, in me, and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will, it shall be done unto you. Now, what's so hard about that? It's because we have allowed another plant to grow up on the inside of us. Another production. Something that is produced that is contrary to God's word that's growing up on the inside of us. He says, my word abide in you, you shall ask what you will, shall be done unto you. Now, when we are praying, just pray, Father, I want you to be glorified. Look at verse 8, what it says. Now, to some people, this can be so boring. That's what the enemy wants you to have. A mindset where this is so boring, you don't even think about it. And you don't produce what God wants you to produce in this season. He says, hear unto my Father glorified, verse 8, that you bear much fruit. Remember, he says, if we abide in him, we can bear much fruit. The enemy doesn't want you to bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. As the Father loved me, so I have loved you. Continue my love. Verse 16. You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you to go and ordain you to bring forth much fruit, that your fruit should remain, and whatsoever you shall ask. Remember, he's associating bearing fruit with asking. Ask whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. I just want you to see that where he says, abide in me. My words abide in you. Then Adam and Eve would have produced everything that God intended. They would have taken those seeds from the tree of life. They could have taken those fruit and planted them all over the world. Produced the Garden of Eden all over the world. You can read that in Ezekiel 36, where it says, this place that was desolate is going to be like the Garden of Eden. Because God's going to pour his spirit out upon Israel, and they will begin to do the things that he wanted them to do. Ezekiel 47 verse 12 talks about that healing leaf is like medicine. Revelation 22 verse 13, or verse 1 through 3, talks about the leaf is for the healing of the nation. So I just want to share those with you, and that's why I sent this. I was thinking about that ahead of my Bible. I wasn't sure if I was just going to give this sermon and just read these scriptures to you to encourage you in God's Word. So you can see the examples, just like in 2 Kings chapter 20, what happened there? I forget exactly what that one is about. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 30. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21, that's about Hezekiah. You know, God, he said, Lord, I've done all you told me to do. God gave him another 15 years. So you can read these scriptures and you remember the stories behind them. And then you will find people in different situations. You have the scriptures to share with them, to encourage them, to build them up, to keep them, to refocus their attention, refocus their sight. And just like Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 9, God said, Jeremiah, what do you see? God had just spoken to him saying that, okay, you're going to build, you're going to plant, you're going to pluck up, you're going to root up. And he told him, okay, you're going to do all these things. Jeremiah said, I'm a child. God said, Jeremiah, what do you see? He said, I see an almond tree. He said, okay, I'm going to hasten my word to perform it. God spoke to Jeremiah first to encourage him to speak and to see. And then he says, I'm going to hasten my word to speak it, to teach us that when we speak, as Christ said, I only speak the things my Father commanded me to speak, then God's word goes out and do those things. Remember Psalm 103? Do I have that one here? Psalm 103 talks about, 103 verse 3. 1-3. He forgive us for all of our iniquities. He heal us of all of our diseases. And down to verse 19 and 20, it says, angels hearken, or they're listening to God's word to perform it. They're angels. They're ministering spirits. And it says in Hebrews, sent forth to minister. And after Christ was there in the garden being tempted by the devil, angels came and ministered unto him. I didn't read the scripture where it was in Luke 22, verse 24 through 32. Where Christ said, we mentioned that in Bible study last night, part of it, they had jealousy among themselves or striving or asking questions about who's going to be the greatest. Christ called them aside and reminded them about they're going to rule with him because they were receiving another broadcast, another seed. And he said, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you that it may sift you as wheat. But I pray for you, and when you are converted, you strengthen the brethren. That's an example for us to pray, as we were doing earlier, interceding, pray for others. So I just want to share those words with you. Restoring health from God's word. Restore your health, and I have to do that. That reminded me, you know, I'm wondering, what am I going to talk about? What God wants me to say? You know, last night I'm thinking, what did God want me to say? And this morning, what did he want me to say? In the middle of the night, I wasn't sure. Then these scriptures came to my mind that I had written down to share with you. Then I thought about my own personal experience. So when you go through things, you can speak with more of a conviction, speak from your experience. You don't have to experience everything in order to enjoy God's blessing. You can learn a whole lot to avoid suffering many things, spiritual and physically, by just obeying what God says for us to obey and receive the benefit that God wants us to receive. Restoring health to the body of Christ. We must walk according to his word. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And that life is Christ. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Thank you very much.